Let's talk about Rowdy Tellez's May. He's answered a ton of questions about the long-term viability of him being a consistent power hitter in the major leagues, hasn't he, in the last 3 or 4 weeks?
Yeah, I agree. And I apologize if I get a little morning voice going here. But, yeah. I think so. I mean, Rowdy, you know, he's played a perfectly fine first base. And when he gets a chance, he's DHing a lot, obviously. But we know he's a big, strong guy with power. We're seeing it. He's hitting lefties. He's hitting the ball to straightaway center field. He's not just a pull hitter. I think he's done a lot to show that he's a part of the future, and that's all, as we've talked about, that's what this year is about. Find out who is good enough to be considered a part of the future when hopefully they get back to contending. And they got a lot of holes to fill, but I see no reason why he's playing almost every day now between first base and DH, but I see no reason why next year he is not a total everyday player, with the exception maybe, okay, it's Chris Sale, we'll sit him down or something like that. But he's done great. He really has.
And in that sort of potential post-Justin Smoke world, a hugely prominent role. And this tells you also, and you've seen this so often, people can get really excited about September numbers or even April numbers for guys that are really up for their first time or two. And there's a longer wait. It's all part of a big process here. And Rowdy's really impressed me.
Yeah, I think he's past that. I think he's past the part where we look at his numbers and wonder if they're true. And again, if you think, we talked about it a little bit, I think last night, if you look at what his ceiling may be or what his floor may be, he looks like a 30 homer guy. I mean, he's just that strong that, you know, he's going to hit the ball out a lot. And he's got an idea what he's doing up there. He makes adjustments. He understands how they're trying to pitch him. And I keep envisioning the top four in the order, in some order, being Bichette, Biggio, Guerrero, and Tellez. That's what I keep seeing. And maybe that's not going to happen. You know, who knows? But that's what I see maybe a year from now being the 1, 2, 3, 4 in the batting order.
And you make a good point about him making the adjustments. He had a quote that he was seeing a lot of pitchers throw fastballs because they realized he was missing. So he goes in, he works on being able to catch up to them without rushing his swing. So it's one thing to know what you're not good at and what pitchers are exploiting against you, but it's a total another thing to be able to actually do something about that, right? Like, that's not a foregone conclusion that you can actually make that change.
Right. And I think people look at him and they just think, oh, slugger. And I don't think that's necessary. And he does have power, but he is in my opinion, a cerebral hitter. Again, he's got a plan. I think he knows what he wants to do. He knows what he wants to work on, that sort of thing. Two nights ago when he hit the two home runs, the first at bat, Eduardo Rodriguez just kept coming inside, five pitches in a row in the first at bat, eventually got him to fly out. He went up there in his second at bat looking for a ball inside and hit a home run on the first pitch of the at bat. So he knows what he wants to work on. He knows how he needs to work on things. And again, you know, this is a season where there have probably been more disappointments than surprises. But we almost forget he was not on the team until Kendrys Morales was traded on the eve of the regular season. And remember, there were rumors, Alford's up. I said, you know, Alford was spotted in the hotel lobby, and no, Tellez is here. Nobody even knew who was on the team. But Rowdy was not going to be on the team unless Kendrys Morales got traded. And he's made the most of it, and I think he's becoming a really important guy going forward.
Dan Schulman, our guest, Red Sox Jays today on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, 12:37. First pitch today as the Jays trying to even the series after a 6-5 exciting 13-inning loss last night. That's tempered with the send-down of Teoscar Hernandez, and I wanted to ask you about that because we haven't had you on since, but that's exactly where we were in 2017 with September, right? Teoscar was super exciting. 908 OPS. He had 8 home runs. He hit them in big spots against the Yankees, is my recollection. So it's a lot of people say they saw the send down coming in 2019, and probably so. Do you think there's a way back for him, or has the organization, is soured too strong? Because we just looked at Houston and thought, okay, there's nowhere for him to play. They have a great outfield. Right. They're the world champs. This is a wonderful opportunity for him, and I think we thought he'd be a Blue Jay for quite a long time. Is that in jeopardy right now?
Yeah, I think it's in jeopardy. I I think there is a way back, but I don't think it's an automatic that he's going to come back. I mean, so we talked about Rowdy making adjustments and understanding what they're doing to him and all that sort of thing. And the issue with Teoscar, I think, is guys keep getting him out the same way. That, you know, the slider's down and away. And I don't know that he's made the adjustments that he needs to make to cover up some of the holes that he has. He's also not an elite defender. Now, he's been better this year. He was better this year than he was last year, which is nice. I think they want him to succeed because, again, the power is tantalizing. But I think when you look at, he's had a fair number of at-bats, so I think he's going to have to really prove his way back if he's going to get an opportunity. You know, what he's got going for him is they're not really deep in the outfield right now. You know, they're in second, short, and third. They got a lot of, you know, they got a lot of guys catching in the system. They got a lot of guys outfield. They're not that deep, so I think there is a way back. But I think he's going to need. I don't think it's an automatic that he gets called back up. I think he's going to need to succeed at Buffalo, cut down on the strikeouts, increase the on-base percentage, that sort of thing, which is too bad because he's got, you know, he's got some things you just love. But unless he can cover up some of the holes, I don't know that he can be consistent enough to get back here.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr., obviously a massive part of this team. He's the showstopper. Everyone wants to see him. Everyone was up in arms when he wasn't playing on Victoria Day. And whether or not you agree with that decision from Charlie Montoyo, whether or not you love the statement from the front office saying, we really should have reiterated to Charlie how important Victoria Day is, it seems as though this load management term that we've coined here in Toronto on Kawhi Leonard is something that's going to be applied to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. throughout his young, young career. What are they protecting him from is my question, because he came up late, so we know that he wasn't really playing, he wasn't getting major league at bats, and he's very young, and the injury that he got is not really conducive to re-injury as far as I know. So what's your take on this whole thing?
I think what they're trying to do with him, listen, he's been hurt twice in the last 12 months. He had the oblique in the spring and he had the knee last year. And as you said, actually, he didn't really have a spring training. He didn't have a lot of at-bats. So what I think they're trying to do is to try to minimize the chances of him getting hurt again. I think there's a little bit of concern that if they just throw him out there for 162 games or whatever the number is that he's here, that he is liable or more likely to sustain an injury. You know, he's a big kid. And I think they're still, you know, getting his weight down, working on his body, on his conditioning. He's playing on turf every day, which he hasn't before. And I think they're just being really cautious in a year in which they're not expected to contend. If they were a contending team, I imagine he'd be out there every single day. But I think because he's such a big part of the future, they just want to be as careful as they can. And you know, and the Blue Jays are always careful to say everybody gets days off, not just Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It's just, you know, the spotlight is so bright on Vladdy that anything that happens with him is magnified. But I just think they want to keep him healthy and make sure they ease him into his major league career and not overdo it for a kid who's, again, probably still trying to lose a little bit of weight and still working on getting to 100% peak efficiency with his body and his conditioning and everything like that. And I think they just want to be really careful because he's so important.
You've got Clayton Richards' first start of the season today. Tight, tight restrictions, it sounds like, on him and in terms of watching him. Maybe 50 to 60 pitches out of the gate for him today?
Yeah, I think so. He threw, I believe, 41, 43, something like that in Buffalo. So we've been told to expect 50 to 60 now. I haven't talked to Charlie since before yesterday's game, so we'll find out exactly what the plan is. If I'm Sam Gavilio, I'm pretty sure I'm going to pitch in today's game because he didn't pitch last night, although Sam was up getting ready. If there had been a 14th inning, Sam would have come in and pitched there. But, yeah, tight restrictions on Richard. But, again, a guy who's got a track record. He's not a savior, but he's got a track record. He's been around the block, and you know, they're just trying to patch the holes wherever they can to have some semblance of a rotation. So, you know, hopefully maybe he can be efficient if they can get 4 innings out of him and he does well, turn it over to Gavilio, and then, you know, maybe have a lead going late. They're still in decent shape in the bullpen, I think, notwithstanding what happened last night.
Ah, that Shoemaker injury still makes me angry. What a shame.
I know,
like,
yeah.
It's one of the most, I know they're not meant to be competitive this year, but it's one of the most, like, heartbreaking injuries for a guy on the Blue Jays to have happened in a long, long time, especially so early.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. You root for everybody, but if you're just a terrific guy, just the nicest guy you've ever met, and a guy who sustained so many injuries in the past, whether it's arm injuries, the fractured skull when he got hit by a line drive a couple of years ago, and it is a terrible shame. And who knows if he'll be back next year, and who knows if he'll ever pitch as well as he was pitching for the Blue Jays this year. But it hurt the team tremendously, I think, because had he been able to stay healthy, it's just a quality veteran arm in the pen. But just on a, you know, on a human basis, on a, you feel for the guy because he's a good guy, and you wish he didn't do this. But his attitude, as you've seen from his tweets, if you see it, you know, in the surgery and all that, his attitude is great, and it's just you really root for him to be able to come back from this.